Welcome to the Living Word Assemblies of God Toronto podcast. As the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Yes, it is the complete human experience. So relax and re-energize yourself with this powerful word.
Thank you all very much for welcoming us into your home this Palm Sunday morning. It is my joy and my delight to share the word of the living God with you. Let me appreciate all the team members who have been working so hard behind the scenes to help us go through this season of our lives. God richly bless you, particularly for those who have been watching us live online. Thank you very much. God richly bless you. As we all know, all of us are faced with one thing. Some people call it COVID-19, others coronavirus. So, coronavirus, we are hearing about on daily basis every time, and it has caused a significant degree of fear and uncertainty. Now, whether such fear is warranted is yet to be seen. But in the face of uncertainty, beloved, I want you to know that there are some things that individuals, organizations, believers, denominations, and churches can do. COVID-19 is doing more than threatening just our physical health. But for many of us, it is also affecting our spiritual, mental, and emotional health as well. It seems that the coming months will likely be full of disappointment, sacrifices, and mourning, as we hear on the news, both from the US and from Canada. But as followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can also look to the month ahead and anticipate joy, anticipate peace, love, hope, personal growth and development, and new opportunities to live our faith out. Now, what are you doing, if I may ask, to stay safe? I guess that you are saying, oh, I'm staying home, Pastor. Thank you for doing that. I hope again that by now you also know that the best way to get out of this is to wash your hands with just soap and water. So please just keep doing that for God and for me. I love that. Thank you all for doing all that and staying at home and keeping healthy and keeping yourself safe. On this Palm Sunday, this triumphant Sunday, this Passion Sunday, I want us to look at the sermon series, Rich, the Way Out of COVID-19, Christ. I want us to focus on Christ. Why am I trying to do this? Because I believe strongly that Christ is the answer, that Christ is the solution, that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. I believe strongly that by the end of this, your life would never be the same. With Christ in your boat, you can smile at the storm. With Christ as your focus, as my focus, as our focus, our collective focus, I believe that this pandemic will become nothing in just in the near future. So how do we ensure that we focus on Christ? How do we just do that? Let us go to the scriptures and then read the Palm Sunday story as presented by Matthew. Help me welcome Mama Olivia Techidi Graft to read the scripture for us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This morning, our scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 21, from verse 1 to 17. Matthew 21, 1 to 17. Let's hear the word of God. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that were ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven! When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Jesus entered the temple court and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise? And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. Verse 17 again. And he left them and went out to the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. Here ends our reading for this morning. Lord, before Pastor comes on, I want you all to join me as we sing the song, Ancient Word, Ancient Word. Okay, are you ready? Are you ready to sing with me? Okay, let's go. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us go in this world where we roam. Ancient words for guide us home. Ancient words
ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with all
open hearts, all let the oceans west in bath.
Thank you, ancient word, precious Lord, we thank you. We honor your holy name. We come in humility asking for the anointing from you, precious Lord, on this glorious resurrection, glorious Palm Sunday. There are thousands of people gathered home. Precious Lord, some do not know what to do. They don't know where to go. They don't know how to manage their lives. I pray that, oh Lord, as you did 2,000 years ago, visit your people, bring life to people, bring hope to people, bring encouragement right now to people, and above all, precious Lord, bring healing to people in their homes. In the name of Jesus, speak forth your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much. What do we tell Mama Olivia? You know, the scripture that we have heard and read this morning tells us of a journey that Jesus took to Jerusalem. So I will use the Luke's account as I narrate it. There are three questions I want all of us to think about and try to find answers to before I bring your attention to what I want you to focus on. I want you to focus on Christ. The story to Jerusalem. Jesus, remember, at this time, is left Jericho. And Jericho, so many things were there. He met Bartimaeus, healed him, Zacchaeus, and then helped him change his life. All right, change his life. So look at the first question. The first question is, what do you have? Okay, what do you have? Now, whatever you have, I want you to understand that the Lord needs it. The Lord needs it. Look at the verses. Look at the scripture. Okay, Luke's account. Okay, verse 28 says, after telling this story, Jesus went on towards Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. As he came to the town of Bethphage and Bethany. Now, Bethphage is adjacent to Bethany. On the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead. And he said, go into that village over there. He told them, as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, why are you untying that coat? He says, just say, the Lord needs it. Just say, the Lord needs it. So the question I'm asking you this morning is, what do you have? What do you have? Whatever you have, the Lord needs it. Now, I want you to understand that Jesus is moving to Jerusalem. Now, it's not only Jesus who at this time was going to Jerusalem. There's so many people going to Jerusalem. Pontius Pilate, for example, the Roman governor, had already entered Jerusalem to occupy the Antonian fortress, okay, and then Praetorium with a full complement of elite and battle-hardened Roman soldiers, ever ready and willing to suppress any attempted uprising against Rome, against Roman rule that might occur. So people were gathering. This was, remember, a feast of the Passover was coming a week ahead. Jesus was going. Pilate, Pontius Pilate, was there. Not just that, but remember, Herod Antipas, okay, Tetrarch, the Tetrarch king, ruler of Galilee and Perea, the one who had imprisoned John the Baptist and beheaded John the Baptist, remember, had also arrived with great, great pomp and ceremony, undoubtedly occupying the palace of his late father, Herod the Great. So Herod was there, Pilate was there. But listen, such in the midst of such power and pageantry, the people were seeing that that week as a great time of celebration. Then, there, and here comes Jesus fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah. Now, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Jesus fulfilling it. It says, see, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, okay, the foal of a donkey. Jesus was coming. Pilate was there. Look at how he came in. Look at Herod. Look at how they came in. Look at Jesus. Look at how he came in. Now, during this time, you know, when kings are entering into countries like that, you know, they come after war, they come on their horses and with their chariots. So Herod will come, all right? Pilate will come. But Jesus is coming as a king, the promised king. But see how he comes in. He comes in riding on a donkey, right? So Jesus, by that act, is telling us that he, as a king, coming in riding on a donkey, is coming with peace, not with war, with peace. I want you to understand that wherever you are right now, if you will give what you have to Jesus, he will come in and give you peace. Give you peace. He will give you peace. Look at your neighbor and tell him the king is coming. He's riding on a donkey, symbolic of peace. The kind of peace that he alone can give. This world cannot give you that peace. So the first question is, what do you have? What do you have? The Lord needs it. Okay. Is it a donkey? God needs it. Is it your body? God needs it. Is it your health? God needs it. Is it your joblessness? God needs it. Is it your sick body? God needs it. When you can surrender it to him, he will take it and heal. Now look at the second question. Who do you worship? Now, from the story, it's very, very interesting. From 38 to 40, very interesting. It says, and the disciples simply replied, the Lord needs it. Okay. So they brought the cloth to Jesus and threw their garment over it for him to ride on. What do you have to throw down for Jesus to ride on? As he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Now, what sort of miracles have you seen ever since this pandemic started? Not just your existence, okay? Just you being alive this Sunday morning, okay? And listening and watching the news and hearing of the death that is happening all around you, and yet you and me are alive. That alone is a miracle. I think you need to pause here and worship God. You need to take your time somewhere here and say, Jesus, I thank you. I praise you for saving me. I worship you. So join the disciples. Look at what they did. Look at what they did. The Bible says, as he rode along, the crowd spread out their garment. Let's go on to 37. It says, when he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Praise God with them right now. How did they do it? Blessings on the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Okay, look at it carefully. Blessing on the king who comes. This king, not Herod, not a Pontius Pilate, but Christ, the one who is coming riding on a donkey. Okay, lift up your voice and praise God with me right now for some few seconds. Just bless his name. Just worship his name. Just honor his name. Just exalt his name. Jesus, you alone are king. Okay, pause with me. Let's move on. Look at verse 39. But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that. Now, Jesus is entering into Jerusalem. Look at the scenario here. Look at what all that is happening, okay, around him. I believe strongly, as much as it wasn't just Jesus was riding in there, but Pilate was coming in there, Herod was also coming in there. I believe strongly that the same way among this crowd, we could just pause and then ask ourselves, so who were the constituent of this crowd? Can you think about any person who you believe strongly could be part of this crowd that were singing, that were shouting? Just a thought. Just give me a thought. You know, just give it a thought and think around it. I'm sure definitely maybe it's possible that Bartimaeus may be there because Jesus healed him. Okay. Mary Magdalene could also be there. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Okay, the disciples of Jesus could be there. Well, what about the centurion? And then maybe the daughter of the centurion who was raised from the dead. So you see, there were all these people were there, and the midst of that were also the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes who were there. So people were there who loved Jesus, who cared about Jesus. In the same context, there were also others who hated him, who were just watching for him to commit just a slight blunder, and then they will arrest him and crucify him. Who are you? Who are you worshiping? Who are you worshiping? So I'm asking you this glorious, precious morning. Okay, what do you have? Who are you worshiping? Okay, are you worshiping Jesus the Messiah? Are you worshiping the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? Are you worshiping the Jesus who laid his life down for the sake of love? I come before you today and I want to encourage you to know that Jesus loves you, and he's asking you, if you can, to give him what you have and worship him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And your life will never be the same. Look at the third question today. Do you know that God has visited you? Do you know? Now, the meaning of that, when you look at the Greek, is the Messiah is coming. Look at verses 41 to 44. Look at it. It says, but as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. Jesus began to weep. Now, I know that in the Bible, there are quite a number of places where we find Jesus's emotion in play, or we find his emotion at play. For example, the Bible says when Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. But in the entire New Testament, we see Jesus weeping only in two places. Do you remember the first one? In John chapter 11, when Jesus heard that his friend Lazarus was dead, he waited for some time before he went. By the time he got there, Lazarus had died. Now, remember the way they said it was that, oh, your friend Lazarus, the one you love, is sick. Jesus said, we will go. All right? Later on, when Jesus got there, he had died. So Mary ran and then told Jesus, oh, Jesus, if you had come earlier, this wouldn't have happened. Jesus said, remember, note, if you believe, I am the resurrection and the life. If any person believes in me, even though he dies, yet shall he live. I'll come to that. I'll come to that again before we close. But what I want you to get from here is that that was the first instant when Mary was weeping and crying, and Martha, they were crying, Jesus felt with them. And the Bible says Jesus wept. Now, this was the second time he did it. So you ask yourself, why was Jesus weeping? Okay, in Mary and Martha's case, he was looking at the people around him who were full of unbelief. And then he was looking at, you know, the way these sisters were so loving, were so in love with their brother. He felt that and decided to do something about it. But look at Jerusalem. The second time where Jesus wept, he wept over the city. He says, how I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. How I wish that you would understand. Because remember, this is the Passover. Pontius Pilate is there with his military men. Okay, Rome was ruling the Jews, and they were crying and praying for a release of a Messiah to come and deliver them. Okay. Herod Antipas was there causing men and destroying and killing people. Remember, Antipas was the one who beheaded John the Baptist. So the Jews were under oppression. But look at it very carefully. Jesus comes in riding behind a donkey, revealing to them that he has come as a king, the promised king, but not as the others. But he has come with peace. We have come with peace. But the people did not understand the kind of peace he was bringing. Now, does the world today understand the peace that God is bringing? Follow up with me. Follow up. It says, but now it is too late, Jesus said, and peace is hidden from your eyes. 43. It said, before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in on you from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not recognize it when God visited you. Beloved in the Lord, friends, online audience, okay, relatives and friends, listen, this is the day of God's visitation. The Lord has visited you. The story we've read was Jesus was there physically with them. The King of Kings was there physically in their midst. The Prince of Peace was in their midst, and they never recognized him. Remember, this Jesus who came, walked among them, in the midst of all their struggle and pain and the oppression and suppression by Roman government, in this same Jesus is still calling on you. If you have welcomed me into your home, please welcome Jesus into your heart, because he is here and he is coming. So look at it very carefully. What do you have? The Lord needs it. The donkey. Okay. What do you worship? The Lord needs you, not a stone. Don't be difficult and let God raise stones to worship him, because he can, but he doesn't want to. So my encouragement to you is that please make a decision on who to worship. And then, do you know that God has visited you? Indeed, the Messiah is coming. So maybe you may be asking, so what do I do? What do I do? What should you do? What must I do? Focus on Christ. Focus on Christ. Now, this Palm Sunday, I want to go through with you, go through the acronym of the word Christ. And then, during the Easter season, I'm going to take my time and pick it up one by one. So I'm taking this opportunity to invite you to join us for our Easter service. So what does that mean? What must you do? Focus on Christ. Okay, I want to look at the acronym Christ. So the first word in Christ is C, is cross. Please focus on the cross. Focus on the cross. Focus on the cross of Jesus. Very significant. Look at it. Focus on the cross. In Galatians chapter number 2, it says, as for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. Look, friends, do you want to know what you have to do during this time? Focus on Christ. Keep your focus, as Paul is revealing to us, on the cross of Jesus. On the cross, he died. I'll take my time. The letter H is heaven. Focus on heaven. In John 14, 1 to 6, the Bible says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. Listen, Philip said, no. And Thomas said, no, we don't know, Lord. We have no idea where you are going. So how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Beloved, I want you to focus on Christ. If you're focusing on him, focus on the cross, focus on heaven. The third thing I want you to focus on as you focus on Christ is focus on the resurrection. John 11, 25, as I alluded to, Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Now listen, there is hope in Christ. Focus on Christ. Now, the letter I in the acronym is instructions. During this moment and seasons, focus on the instructions that Jesus gives you. Look at John chapter 14, verses 15 to 18. The Bible says, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. Now, I want you to understand that it's very, very important. Jump with me and go and look at what Jesus said. He says in verse 24, he says, anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. Okay? Anyone who does not love me will not obey me. So when people are not obeying Jesus, don't fight with them. But for me and for you, do we love him? If you are watching me for the first time, I want to ask you, do you love him? You can love him. Now, whether you love him or not, he loves you. But one of the signs is for you to keep and follow his instructions. During this season, focus on Christ. Okay? Focus on Christ. What have we said? Focus on the cross. Focus on heaven. Focus on the resurrection. Focus on his instructions. And what do I want you to focus on? I'm asking you to focus on Christ. What is the next letter? S. S is Spirit of Christ. Spirit of Christ is the Holy Spirit. Look at Romans 8, 9 to 11. He says, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit. If you have the Spirit of God living in you, and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Christ at all. Just note that, okay? And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life. Because you have been made right with God. Now, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God, listen, the Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ. So the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Now, friends, I want you to understand, you need the Spirit of Christ to help you during these times of crisis. Finally, as you focus on Christ, the last letter there is T. Christ is T, and that is thankfulness. Thank him. Appreciate him. Okay? Look at what he's saying. Luke chapter 17 and verse 16. Remember the story of the 10 lepers. 10 lepers who were cleansed of their leprosy. Do you remember that story? Okay, in Luke chapter number 17, the Bible says that the 10 of them were cleansed. They went, one came back and then gave thanks to God. Look at verse 16, what he did. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Now, maybe you may be watching me. If you know anything about the Jews and Samaritans, Samaritans were not regarded at all as part of the citizenship of Jesus. Maybe you are listening to me, you are watching me, and you are wondering, oh, Pastor, I am not worthy. I am not worthy. I'm too sinful. I don't know what to do. You can be likened to the Samaritan. Jesus has a way for all of you. He has room for everybody. So what have I said today? Today, all I've said is that Jesus triumphantly entered into Jerusalem, all right? And from that story, we can ask ourselves three basic questions, okay? What do you have? Who do you worship? Is that okay? All right. So what do you have? Who do you worship? All right. And then we ask ourselves, so what do we do in the face of all this? And I've admonished you to focus on Christ. And as you look on Christ, look at the cross always. Look at heaven always. Look at his instructions. Look at his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. Depend on him. And then look at his heart of attitude of thankfulness. Always give thanks in every situation, in every circumstance. Be like the Samaritan. And I believe that God will bless you. Now, at this moment, I can't bring my lesson to a close without asking you, you know, those of you who are listening to me, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, I will appreciate it if you can bow down your head wherever you are, and then let's pray a prayer together. Listen, very significant. I want you to pay attention and then see what you can do for him, okay? Bow down with me right now. Bow down your head with me wherever you are. Bow down your head with me wherever you are. Bow down your head with me wherever you are. Wherever you are watching us from, all right? And you can pray and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, forgive me my sins. Jesus, I have me. What I have is me, my body. I hand it over to you. Take over my body. Lord, forgive me of any sin I've committed against you. And Jesus, today, out of my own will, I welcome you into my heart. Come, be my Lord. Lord, you used a donkey. You can use me. You can ride on me. You can ride in me. You can ride through me. Thank you. Now, if you pray that prayer, all right, you can get in touch with us. You can, you know, let us know by sending us an email or calling the number on your screen, or, you know, whatever you need to do, all right, or your friends who you are watching with, just tell him that this is the decision I've made, and we will be glad to work with you. Finally, before we move on, I believe that I'm speaking to believers all over the world. Now, if you're a Christian, the Lord needs you. Who are you worshiping? Lift up your voice and rededicate your life to God and say, God, during this time of pandemic, as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, in the midst of all this pain that the Jewish people were going through, knowing definitely that he was going to die, and yet set his face, as Luke will tell us, to go to Jerusalem, I want you to pray and say, Lord, Lord God, use me to make a difference in this world at this season. Use me to love somebody. Use me to care for somebody. Use me to share your love with somebody. Lift up your voice and pray. Lift up your voice and ask God. Rededicate your life to him and say, Lord God, use me to be the church the way you want me to be. Being a blessing to people, vulnerable to the elderly people, okay, to people in need, to people in your neighborhood. Pray for people. Call somebody. Ask God to use you to be a blessing to somebody during this time of crisis. Yes, Lord. Thank you. God richly bless you for praying. Thank you for rededicating your life. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you for your time. We pray that this message will continue to be a blessing in your life. Please visit us at livingwordag.org or whenever you are in the Greater Toronto Area, Ontario, Canada. This podcast is made possible through your generous donations. God bless you and keep you. Join us again soon.